I have to admit that Maria Skubstova is a favorite of mine. She is a twice divorced, chain smoking former Bolshevik who became an Orthodox nun. And what I find really interesting about her journey is that she had these interesting experiences. I mean, she had a husband that she loved, and then they fell apart and got a divorce. She became the mayor of a city in Russia, and then was brought up on charges at the revolution for being a Bolshevik. And the judge got her off of those charges, and they fell in love and went to move to Paris and got married. And then they had children, but then they grew distant. And through that chaotic process, who had once rejected Christianity, began to look again at the stories of Jesus, and began to be drawn back into the faith. And what's really interesting is that her bishop said to her, "Nun." And she said, "Have you lost your mind?" But he kept saying it. And eventually she realized, "Well, Bishop, I think you might be right, but I'm not going to be locked up in a convent." He said, "Okay, you don't have to be locked up in a convent." And so they got an ecclesiastical divorce, and she set up a little house in downtown Paris, and she welcomed in people who had questions and people who wanted to talk and explore, and who weren't sure about God. And she was the perfect person to talk to them. She was willing to create community among people with questions. And then what happened is that as the Nazis took over, I'm still wrapping my brain around my mother, the nun, right? You know, her adult son, Mother Maria, and the priest who was her spiritual director, together, they began to welcome Jewish people into the house, and they gave them false baptismal certificates so they could avoid being persecuted and dragged off to concentration camps by the Nazis. And eventually, the Nazis figured out what was happening, and so they all got arrested and carried away. And Maria Skubstova continued to care for people in the concentration camp. And the evidence is not entirely clear, but it looks like she took care of a young Jewish woman who was to go into the gas chamber, and Maria went in her place because she was freaking out and gave her life in that way. A powerful, powerful story. And what the story, it seems to me that one of the things that's so important is the connection that the book of James makes in the reading we heard this morning between healing and community. And we often, I think in the modern world, I think it's helpful for us to make a distinction between healing and cure. Cure is a medical intervention that hopefully stops a disease process. healing may or may not stop a disease process, but healing provides connection and context and meaning and community, and healing overcomes isolation. Healing helps people be aware that they reside securely in God, regardless of what happens to them physically. And healing is what the letter of James is all about, a community where people feel connected to God and each other. And the command in the letter of James recognizes that what happens is when people get off by themselves, that's often when sin is most likely to happen. Right? And so the call to confess your sins to one another and to encourage and help one another, and the talk about the value of bringing the wandering brother or sister back, is all about the recognition of the dangers of isolation and of the power of a loving community. The kind of loving community that Maria Skoptsova created in her little apartment in Paris, where people could come and have questions. That was her healing ministry right there. And then it just went on from there. And so in James, there's the recognition that evils are out there in the world, that they impose themselves on people when people get out there and get isolated. And the invitation is to bring people back. So not only bringing back the one who wanders, but when someone is sick, they call for the elders. The elders go and pray and anoint the person, reminding them, even though you are sick out here where you could be feeling isolated, you are not alone. That's the power of the anointing. That you're still connected. You may be stuck at home, you may be in the hospital, you may be wherever, but you are still connected to the body of Christ. And that's where healing is found. Cure may happen, may not. We pray for cures. There's nothing wrong with that. No problem with that, whatever. Healing happens when we connect people to the body of Christ. Healing happens even through fake baptismal certificates for Jews trying to escape the Nazis. Healing happens. And that's the thing. The problem in the gospel that we heard today is that people are asking for a sign. Why do you ask for a sign? What does that mean? You're looking for some kind of authority. A sign is a search for authority. By what authority do you do this? Who gives you permission to do this? Do you have the right to do this? And Jesus says, yeah, authority. That's what Jonah had, right? Mm-hmm. In the whale, right? Spit up on the shore, really hating everything that he was asked to do. Yeah, that was a lot of authority. Yeah, that's the kind of authority, that's the sign you're going to get, right? Right? There's no authority. I mean, if a bishop today found out somebody was giving out fake baptismal certificates, it would be a big problem, right? There would be all kinds of scandal about it. And there would be authority issues. Do you, by whose authority do you do this? What authority does this certificate have? Whatever. Understandable. But in facing the Nazis, the authority was responding compassionately to life itself. That was the authority. those baptismal certificates had as much authority as yours and mine. Because it was making community to save lives and keep people connected. And all of those things where we know healing resides. That's the authority of those baptismal certificates. That's the authority of healing and compassion.